course, I guess the other thing would be the implications in terms of the adjuvant setting. What fraction of patients with newly diagnosed renal cell cancer fall into the potential adjuvant category?
Well, there's in the U.S. about 36,000 patients a year. About two-thirds are metastatic, so, you know, roughly, say, 24,000. If you took out the really low-risk people, the tumors less than 4 centimeters, the T1A tumors, you still have, gosh, probably 15,000 to 20,000 patients who are at a reasonable risk for recurrence who could be eligible for adjuvant therapy.
Anything going on to downstage patients on diagnosis? I guess that's already sort of happening in terms of people being picked up with incidental CAT scans, et cetera. But what about in terms of actual screening?
There really haven't really been any successful screening efforts. There are studies ongoing, but nothing that has yet proven clinically useful in terms of early detection. In terms of downstaging, which is a little bit of a different question, I mentioned we're starting to look at Sutent, and other people are looking at sunitinib and other agents in the neoadjuvant setting to try and downstage to potentially make surgery more successful, but those trials are in their early stages.
It's interesting. I didn't even mean to say downstage. I was thinking more, I guess, in terms of stage shift or whatever.
Yeah, stage migration.
But actually, now that you mention it, it's interesting to think about downstaging and whether, you know, we're going to get to a point with this disease in a few years, like colon cancer, where looking at people with oligometastatic disease, and we really try to downstage them with chemo. I wonder, do you think there are enough patients like that with renal cell that theoretically that could be a significant strategy?
I think so. At Cleveland Clinic, our urologists see a lot of those patients who have sort of borderline resectable disease. And so those would be the type of patients that if we could downstage them and take them to surgery, could potentially significantly benefit those patients, basically taking them from an incurable state to a potentially curable state. And so, you know, as mentioned, we're starting to look at that, as are others. And so we'll have to wait over the months and years to see what the effect of these drugs in the primary tumor is. That's not really well defined, as we alluded to earlier.
Another paper that you were involved with, kind of interesting, looked at gemcitabine and capecitabine, something that people wouldn't normally think about with renal cell. Can you talk about what you saw there and what you think it means?
So, you know, before the days of anti-angiogenic drugs, immunotherapy and chemotherapy were really used for kidney cancer, and mostly immunotherapy. Over the years, you know, several people, including myself, have looked at combinations of 5-FU or 5-FU-type products, such as capecitabine, with gemcitabine, and seen response rates in the 10 to 15%, which is a little higher than the single agent or zero that we see with other chemotherapy. So there's a little something there. I mean, when these other VEGF-targeted agents came out, chemotherapy got pushed well to the background, as it should have been. So there's a little activity there. We will occasionally use it in patients who failed all other therapies, including all the new therapies. There have been some reports about the use of certain chemotherapy regimens in patients with sarcomatoid renal cell that, you know, need to be verified. So there may be a role there, but I think it's relatively few and far between.